Blog Talk Radio. welcome to our program, Let's Talk. I'm your host, Brandon Kaiser, and also with me is Stanley Wright, and Evangelist Cecilia Kaiser is also here. And also, Evangelist Sylvia Wright is here, too. So, Stanley, would you like to start us off with prayer?
God, I want to thank you for waking us up this morning, God. I want to thank you for keeping my mom alive. Thank you for saving her so she wouldn't be, die. God, I want to thank you for waking up me, ACC, Brandon, my mom. I want to thank you for the college trip I just got back from. Thank you for the experience and the people I met. And God, I want you to bless our day. Amen.
We thank you for this program. We repent for sins of commission, no mission. We pray that our ways will be pleasing to you, Lord, all that we will do. In Jesus' name, amen. So, family here has gone on an internship at a university, and I want to, talk with him about that and tell us about that experience. So my first question is, where'd you go?
Went to St. Mary University.
Yeah, but how old are you? That's the question.
15.
How old are people that usually go off to college? That's phenomenal.
He said, is it located where?
Minnesota.
Minnesota? Okay, so tell us some more. What else do you know about the university?
I know they're very known for their soccer team, when I was there, we couldn't play football and basketball stuff, but we was able to play soccer. So I was able to do new sport. I like their classes. I met some of the professors that teach there. Their professors was nice and things like that. We met the principal of the school. He went around and greeted us. We did the same also, so it was good to meet the principal.
Principal or the dean?
Principal. I can't remember his name. But, we didn't see him a lot. But when we saw him, we got a chance to, sat down. He ate breakfast with us and talked about our experiences. So it's a good camp. Cool.
So, I guess what were some of the things that you had learned there? Some of the subjects?
Some of the subjects, we did writing. We had four classes. So we did reading, writing, math, and vocabulary. Each class, I liked all the professors, that taught us, we did reviews and things like that. In writing class, we wrote an essay about our experience there. So we was able to hear each other's, from other students' papers and stuff. So we was able to do that. In math, we did, review on algebra and things like that, just in case some of the stuff we missed. Vocab, we talked about, root words, grammar, things like that. And reading, we went over history. We went to talk about the Mexican-American War. And we learned new, reading skills and strategies.
That's what it sounds like, almost like it's also preparing you for standardized tests, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, dealing with the analogies and having to write essays, because they have the SAT and the ACT. I don't know what else they have now, because it's been a while since I've taken the test. So, sound like they're preparing you also for that, along with having you learn something. So, did you make any new friends?
Well, last year I went to the went to the campus with the same people. So, this year I went with them again. So, I was really happy to see the same people. We have fun and things like that. So, I wouldn't say I met new people, but reunited with old friends.
So, what were some of the things that you guys did for fun?
For fun, I guess I wouldn't say it's fun. We ran a mile or two almost every day.
That wasn't fun?
Yeah.
You don't like running?
At 6 o'clock in the morning.
That wasn't fun?
We played dodgeball, kickball. We did a lot of stuff there.
I want to get back to the run. What kind, did you run, doing cadence, or did you just run?
We ran around a soccer field, so the soccer field is pretty big. So for a mile, we ran around the track four times, but we only ran two just in case if nobody did their homework and things like that. So a lot of people didn't do it, so we usually ran two. So it was fun. And we woke up at 6 o'clock in the morning to do it.
Oh, that sounds like fun to me. Why wasn't it fun to you? Because are you a person, do you really like running?
Mm.
Oh, okay.
Are
so
you
that's
born
in
person? I have to.
Not that you have to. Then, I thought for football, don't you all run or you do sprint? What's the difference?
Well, for football, I have to. Running, I don't think of. Just for running, I don't.
Oh, okay, so in football, when you do it, it's fun, but when you just do it for the reason you all were doing it, it's not.
Me, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think it was all because of getting up in the morning, too.
That, too.
Yeah. So with football, that's what, in the evening or the afternoon, not in the morning? Oh, wow. So if you were to ever play pro football or something like that, you realize that they get up early in the morning and run, right?
They get a real early, sometimes at 3, 4 o'clock in the morning.
Real early. Okay, I'm just trying to. Okay. Sounds like you don't have to get a desire for that on your own if you plan on. Do you plan on playing college football?
Probably not.
Probably not? Okay. So then college football, I know they run a lot.
Well, any type of sport?
Probably not.
Not even bowling?
Probably not.
They might make you run 10 miles in the morning for bowling.
I might do bowling.
Because I know a lot of universities have bowling teams.
I thought since I played football, you know, all my life, I wanted to do something different. So, like, I like basketball. I really don't like, I don't play basketball a lot, so it really don't interest me. Bowling, I love it, so I'm probably do bowling.
Why didn't you play basketball a lot?
They don't feel like it's my sport.
Oh, okay.
I know how that is.
And what made you public?
Because, you know, sometimes, like, you want to, some sports you do want to try out, but you're like, you may not have, like, a basketball rim or somewhere to keep practicing all the time.
Right.
So,
so
never really
used
develop
to like
skill.
Much as you used to like football, though.
I
mean,
I still love it.
Okay.
I just wanted to do something different.
So, who are some of the people that you met as far as, you know, professors or what?
There was two professors that worked there. Their name was Miss Oliver and Dr. Gout. That's how you say it.
Gout, like gout in your foot?
Yeah. But he spells like G-A-O-T-E.
Oh, okay, good. It's not like a gout in your feet.
But those two worked there. They said they've been there for, I believe, 2 years. They said they... You know, they do reading. They were our reading and vocabulary teachers. The other two teachers, they said they worked in Chicago here. I forgot what schools they worked at. So, but
did they even work at UIC or DePaul?
No, they said they worked at middle schools. I'm not sure. I can't remember. But I liked them all. You know, I learned a lot from them. Nice people.
Did you meet anyone in the field that you want to go into?
What is the field that you
want to
go into?
Law.
So, now what type of stuff do they offer as far as law? Like a law program?
Let's see, law program. I believe when we used to asking questions, they said mention something about law program, but I really didn't ask the questions because we was talking about like their programs. Like a lot of people ask about the medical field and things like that. So I forgot to ask them. I'll ask him later.
Oh, you're not interested about becoming a doctor? You must be like me. You don't like the sight of blood and bodily fluids.
I mean, it doesn't bother me.
Oh, they bother me. I don't know how you. I don't know how you could be a nurse. I don't know if I clean up poop after grown people.
It's just larger than a baby. You do it after babies. You do it after pets. Do you all like pets?
Yep.
And what did the sign and note say on the door?
We had a note
on the door, and what did it say?
Say, turn in anyone who's been leaving around poop.
That's right. So therefore, that means that if you walk your dog, and we don't have one, so they couldn't have been talking about us, and you don't pick up the poopy, you're going to get in trouble. That's required. They even have the bags out there. So then if you have children, you all plan on having children with your wife?
Maybe one.
So that means your wife come change all the diapers? Is that what you all are saying?
I'm not saying that. Let that be a one-time experience or one moment.
Oh, so you're saying with nursing it's an everyday experience? So
no, not every day.
Oh, okay. Well,
that's too often for me.
So that means you won't do pediatric nursing, and you probably won't do elderly nursing or patients.
No, none dealing with bodily fluids or bodily excrements.
Okay. Now, years from now, we may have to look at this live streaming video and listen to the tape if we find out that you all start doing something in the medical field.
That's
I'm
what Brandon said.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't say nothing.
I know.
Okay.
I know.
You didn't say nothing.
Yeah,
family.
I'm saying
that's
in chemistry.
That's true, because you never know.
Yeah, you
know,
never
what,
know.
What would happen if someone in your family was sick and they needed you to help take them out, take care of them? So if you can't take them out to the,
yeah.
you know, car wash or...
That's why
the,
I said I didn't say nothing. I don't know. Anything
that.
Could happen.
I mean, yeah, you definitely, you know, help out a family member going through that, but...
You just don't
want it
to be your occupation.
Yeah. don't want to do it unless I have to.
Alrighty.
Yeah. So, are there any other fields other than law that you were thinking about? No sciences or?
Well, no.
And so, see, what about business?
Not right now. You know, I'm still looking though. I didn't sign up, you know, that interests me yet. I'm still looking.
Law is definitely a good field. I mean, it's a lot of people that are in it that are finding themselves finding different types of employment, but it really depends on what your specialty is in law. I mean, real estate, criminal law, whether you're trying to do business law, whether you're trying to be a person that creates and develops and enforces various policies by helping people write laws and regulations. So what part of law you decide to be in, because even the judges, they started somewhere. They didn't just get out of school and become a judge. It's usually a process to becoming that. You know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, so what type of law skills are you thinking about specializing?
I actually thought about criminal law, but I was like, a lot of lawyers are starting to do that, so I wanted to do something different. So I thought about, you know, maybe bankruptcy lawyers, divorce lawyers, I don't know.
What about energy?
Energy lawyers?
Yeah, you can do patent lawyers and stuff like that.
Into it. Most people haven't heard of them. But
yeah, bet you find a good
job. Just like there's most people haven't heard of the various jobs out there in energy engineers and petroleum engineers and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And most of the people that haven't heard of them are really African American people. There's a lot of Caucasians and Asians and Russians and Germans in those fields, so what I hear is pretty good thing.
Yeah, like me, I think I'm the only black, you know, African American person that's in my chemistry program as far as higher education, like as far as master's and PhD. But there, we do have a lot of Africans there. We have a lot of Asians and a lot of Russians and Ukrainians.
So what time was your day starting at the place that you were at? Was it starting like, you said 6 in the morning? What time was it being over at?
The running?
No,
tell me
the
later.
Program.
This whole day.
Like for one day, you know, 6 o'clock we run, 8 o'clock was like breakfast. Then after breakfast, you go to classes. So class was till like 9, 10:15. And then, you know, between there we had breaks. So breaks were like 15 minutes. Then we go to lunch, then we come back, we had class at 2:15, and we go to our last class at gym at 3:30. Then after that, we just like, you know, did fun activities, and then after that, we went to dinner, and,
was any movies or amusement parks or anything?
No, we went canoeing.
Like that?
No, don't like it.
The water was too rapid for you?
I slipped over twice.
Was the water too rapid for
too
you?
Too much seaweed.
The seaweed.
Yeah.
You know, people eat that and use that for medical
everything.
They say, like, oh, I don't. Yeah, think is different about when you about that program for when you actually go to college? What do you think your schedule is going to be like? How do you think it's going to be different?
Well, I know it'll be different because I know right now the way I see it, I'm learning how to manage my time. If I try to like take classes in the afternoon, the morning, the nighttime, whatever. Or and I know that I will probably if I do go to a college, or, you know, or university like that, I can know what. So, you know, what a dorm looks like, you know, maybe what the cafeteria things look like and stuff like that.
Definitely good to know your way around the campus. Like, no one's going to wake you up at 6 o'clock in the morning to go running. That has to be something you're going to do on your own. But you do have, like, certain times for classes, and no one's going to wake you up for that either.
I was thinking when I go to college, I'll probably do my classes in the morning. Because I know I like to sleep a lot, so I try to, like, wake up early, you know, maybe. Get used to it.
Well, I know one of the things that I did was my first year I couldn't do it, but all of the other years I just went to class on Tuesday and Thursday. So you know what that meant? Tuesdays and Thursdays were very long days. But just think, on Tuesday my first class was at 7, 8 o'clock, and I got out of class maybe 8 or 9 at night. But guess what? Monday there was no class. Wednesday there was no class. Friday, there was no class. So then what I did was on Mondays and on Wednesdays, I tried to get through like 90% of my homework, and then whatever I had left over from that Thursday, I would try to get it done either on that Friday or that Saturday or that Sunday. Sometimes I was even able to wait until that Monday to do it because I didn't have any class. So a lot of times I got to do all of my Mondays were very, very full. There was homework, 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 because if I didn't do the homework from Thursday on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, I got it done on that Monday. So I would get all my homework done on that Monday. And Thursdays, depending on how much homework I had got on that Tuesday, that Wednesday's homework was quite a bit. But I realized that that really worked well for me because I just wanted to go to school twice a week. But a lot of people don't want to go to school all day like that. So they went to school Monday through Friday. But I chose Tuesday through Thursday. And it worked out great for me. But some people did Monday, Wednesday, Friday, too. Friday. They didn't want to go all day. They just wanted to take a class here or there. What did you do, Brandon?
Kind of the opposite, more so classes on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, because that's when all the science classes mostly were. So I kind of had no choice, but, you know, most of the time I didn't have much, maybe one or no classes on Tuesday, Thursday. So that's pretty much it, you know. It's definitely one thing you always try, like, hey, you have days of the week where you don't have any classes, and be like, hey, that's awesome.
That's usually hard to get it done your freshman year because your freshman year you have all of these mandatory classes that you have to take, and sometimes it's not as easy in even your sophomore year. But I can tell you, if you take all of the classes you need to take in the first and second year, your third and fourth year, you can really, because in my last year of college, I really only had like classes, and if I could have gotten them done, I would have graduated early, but I couldn't get them done because they didn't offer them. They didn't offer them, and a lot of times it's prerequisite courses you have to take before you can go to the next class. So there was classes that even when they were offered, I couldn't take them because I hadn't taken the prerequisite class.
Yeah, so another thing that they normally have college students do is take up a foreign language. So which one are you looking into?
Well, at my high school, we're doing Spanish for myself my sophomore year. So,
okay. But.
If I'm able to do another language, I'm probably do Japanese, German. I really like German.
Guten Morgen.
What does that sound like?
Good morning.
All right. Avita saying.
Good night.
Not really.
Mm-hmm.
More back to someone how they're.
Oh.
Yeah.
See, you learned a little German
just
then.
And then even in Kaiser.
And then you said
Kaiser
Spanish.
German.
So, me llama is Cecilia.
name is essay?
Yeah, see? Okay, or es?
Or the literal meaning of it is I call myself.
Okay, or es?
What does that sound like?
What time is it?
Okay. What about su casa is mi casa?
My thing is your thing? Like
your what?
Your thing is my thing or something like that?
More like my house.
Oh,
it's your house.
Okay.
And also, ¿cómo te llamas? You say, me llamo Stanley.
He asked you what your name was.
Stanley. Wow, very good Spanish.
So, let's see, you've already got some class ready. You're ready for your Spanish class and your German class. You know about two or three sentences. Alrighty.
Introduce to my friend Javier.
Then if you decide you want to learn some Korean, you can go, Annyeonghaseyo. Okay?
I still don't know what that means. She's been saying it for years.
Annyeonghaseyo.
Exactly.
Peace-ayo. Anyway, go ahead. Well, so that's good that you want to learn some languages that will make you not only marketable, that will make it where you're able to communicate with people and even understand when people are communicating around you and they're speaking their own language. That's powerful.
Definitely good to learn, you know, as many languages as you can. It's definitely good to learn it. Make yourself more marketable. Because some people don't really care about learning another language, but, you know, it kind of limits who and how you can communicate with people. And so was there, let's see, anything else that you guys did throughout the day or any other events that happened? So you guys, other than canoeing, you guys didn't really go anywhere except for on campus?
Oh, we went bowling.
Bowling?
Yeah, that's fun.
So did you guys go anywhere on the weekend?
No. We just stayed on campus, you know, weekends. We did soccer sometimes.
So you're any good at soccer?
No.
Were you? What about goaltending?
Still learning,
your coordination or?
I'm still learning everything.
Okay.
I was actually
It was hard to learn to keep your hands off the ball.
No, I know how to keep my hands up. Just like I don't know how to dribble it, stop it, and things like that.
I was actually pretty good at soccer, and I never really tried out for any teams. I don't know why, but soccer is definitely a very fun sport. It's really, you know, probably the world's most popular sport.
Pele.
Who's Pele? Or what's name Beckham? What about hearing about your mother?
I mean, when I heard about it, I really wasn't worried.
How did you hear about it?
My sister? Well, she really didn't tell me. She kind of, like, asked about it. She was like, she sent me a text message that says, please call me. She said, well, I heard about your mom getting surgery. So I called her back, and I told her that I didn't hear nothing. So I said, I really don't know. So we was both kind of confused. And then I called my mom to tell her, you know, before I went to bed, you know, call her and say hi and stuff. And then she called and she sounded sick, so she had told me she was in the hospital. So I really wasn't worried because I was like, I knew God was going to, you know, make it better. So I really didn't cry, worry, you know. So I just, you know, did what I needed to do. So
who is your sister?
Eteria.
No, but, like, who is she? Is she, like, an older sister?
Oh, yeah, older sister.
Did she text it to you that your mom had surgery, or did she talk to you on the phone? And say,
well, both, like, when, like I said, she had texted me, like, she was like, what happened? She was like, I heard you about your mom getting surgery, so I called her.
And how old is she?
Like 32.
32 years old. A 32-year-old lady would text a young man about your mom had surgery. I wouldn't do that. You want to know why I wouldn't do that? Just to me, it's not intimate enough, it's not caring enough, and it's not appropriate. Because if, as a young person, you never know how they're going to take that. So I think I might have said, call me right away, like I did when I text you, but I guess I left you a message so busy you didn't get to. And so for me, I didn't text you or call you on the phone and tell you what had happened because I thought that was inappropriate. And secondly, because your mom needed to communicate that to you, and that was her desire that she would talk to you personally. So I have to admit, when I heard that you had found out about it, I was upset because I felt like that's something that you should have heard from your mom, because I knew how important it was to her that she talk to you. But she didn't say to me or anyone else to contact you and tell you, you know, because if I have surgery or something like that, a major surgery, I think that's something I would want to talk to my son about. Now that he's an adult, you know, it'd be a little different. But I believe even for a major surgery, if I'm able to communicate, Brandon would like to hear that from either me or a close family member. Your sister, she's not your mom's daughter, correct? Okay. When you talked to your mom, were you worried then?
Not really. Like I said, I knew God was going to make it better. So, you know, I really didn't worry.
Did you talk to your dad?
He didn't call.
So, did it affect your studies? Or are you having a good time or anything? Because you trust God.
Right, because like she always said, don't worry about it. Just do what you need to do and worry about when she comes back. So, I like it now. I'm still not worried because, you know, I already know she'll be better. So.
Evangelist Sylvia, what did you think about the way your son found out about you being? She said she was upset. Why were you upset? Okay, so basically you're upset because you should have been the one to tell him, and you didn't want to spark his concerns about what was happening because of the type of surgery you had and some of the possible outcomes and things that you'll still be dealing with for months or years to come. That's something you and him should talk about. Right, and the fact, if you didn't hear her, she said this is something that she may not have lived through. So when you have a surgery of this type, like when the anesthesiologist was talking about to Renee, she told her, she looked to with Renee eye to eye, and she said, I want you to know this is not something minor. This is major. I mean, she really was very honest with Renee. So therefore, when Renee says she wanted to talk to Stanley herself, all those that are close to her that know her knew to do that. And so I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe the way your sister found out was that I had called the chaplain where your dad is, and I had told the chaplain to tell him. Because even though your mom said that he may not have wanted to know, I felt like it was appropriate for him to know. As the husband, because married or not, staying together or whatever, that's irrelevant. Society and law says that the spouse has the right. So therefore, you never want to be in the middle of something and then you end up dealing with drama with a husband and a wife. My God, my God. That stuff can get ugly. They can be mad at each other and ready to run each other over with a train. And all of a sudden, they're back together, and neither one of them speaking to you. So, you don't want to get in the middle of any husband and wife stuff. And then sometimes they can stay mad at each other and still mad at you, too. So then you really just like, nope, I'm going to do what's right and just stay out of it. What do you think, Sylvia? Okay, so you think your husband just didn't care anymore. Okay, but were you mad at me for telling him? So, yes, yeah, see, she was even mad at me for telling him. So it's not that, and I had told her I was going to tell him. She told me not to because she felt that he wasn't going to care, and I told her that I was going to tell him. So the difference of the way it happened with Stanley is that I told her I was going to tell him. And because I know people's rights, and because I know people's rights, unfortunately, I, being there with my sister, had to make sure that I was there for her, but I also had to make sure that if by chance Renee's Minister Sylvia is wrong and that he does care, he needed to know. So I can truly say, Evangelist Sylvia, I do not know if he cares or not. I do not know if he prayed or if it caused him to have a heart jerk or what happened when the chaplain told him. I cannot say because I did not hear from him. But I think that we did the right thing, letting him know. So I do say to you, I apologize because I know you had told me not to. But and as your sister, I wouldn't want to do anything to hurt you, but in the same instance, we know by law what's required. And even with our brother, who is sick now, we usually make decisions for him, me, Renee, and Sheila. But we were able to locate one of his daughters. And so we, even in loving our brother, had to step back, and not make decisions dealing with his health, because by law, his children get to make those decisions first. Because if he had a wife, it would be that person and his siblings next. So it's pretty hard because I had a sister in the hospital and I had a brother in the hospital. I had a sister going through major surgery. And then I had a brother going through surgery. And in both cases, by law, there were people ahead of me. By law, it was Renee's husband. By law, it was Billy's son. And so even though as much as I love them and I have the medical, you know, knowledge more so than the other people, I have to step back and be like, this or that. So I just caution all of our listeners to realize that there are some rights that people have. And, you know, Stanley, as a teenager, I had to adhere to what his mother said, so I did not say anything to him because she's the adult. Didn't get any input from his dad, so I didn't really have to deal with it.
And so, and, you know, knowing, so what do you know as far as, you know, what your mother's going through, and what do you believe God for as far as her healing?
Well, I asked her, do she know how long it would be until she, like, feel better?
Okay.
She said it'll be a while, so I'm still not worried. Like I say, I know God's still going to make a way, you know.
I really admire you for that. A young man, much more than I hear from most people, admire the way you trust God. What do you think about that? That's what she's saying. That's all she told him all his life is that that's all they have is their trust in God and their belief stand on God. Right, and to hope and to trust God for crazy things. Right? Isn't that what your mama always says?
Mm-hmm.
When the world says it's impossible, what does God say? That's right.
So it's, you know, it's definitely good, you know, the demeanor you have, because there are a lot of teenagers, they hear something like this, and they feel like their whole world is about to fall apart because they don't know where their trust is. You know, they don't have their necessarily a full trust in God, you know. You'll definitely get a little worried hearing information like that, but you still have to know where your trust is, who to put your trust into.
We can't try to act like we're not human.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times people want to act like, oh, I'm strong, it doesn't bother me, and stuff like that. When your heart gets overwhelmed with sadness, concern, or even if worry tries to creep in, you just have to be honest with God and say, God, this thing right here, or this thing right here, there, everywhere, is really starting to get to me. God, I'm really starting to feel whatever that feeling is. God, help me. And he'll take you to his word. He'll put you around people that encourage you. What hurts and what is the problem is when we try to deny what we feel, when we try to hide it from ourselves. And sometimes we're not even aware of what we feel because we've had a shield up for so long until we don't go to God and say, God, open my heart so that I know what's hidden on the inside of me. Because even if it's anger, sometimes during a situation like this, you may see us crying, you might hear us crying, you might see us upset, but those tears is really anger. Because if you had it your way sometimes, if you saw, maybe if one of our family members saw your dad, they might want to punch him or smack him. Don't mean that they would, but they might want to, you know. Or why? Because a phone call or something, a letter, a note, a message to your son, you know, to say, I've got your back, you know, to your wife or whatever to say, just calling to check on you, you know, because even when you read throughout the Word of God, when Esther was for such a time as this and Vashti, the king's wife, was put out, you don't read anything else about Vashti. So I can't even imagine what Vashti went through when Esther replaced her. I can't even imagine what Michael went through when David went on, even though she's the one that spoke badly about him. I can't even imagine what Job went through when he knew that he could trust God, but his wife told him to curse God and die. You know, when I read the Word of God of how spouses have not done things and fathers and mothers, I can't even imagine what David's children felt like. I can't imagine, you know, any of that. So that's why we're asking you, you know, like, what was it like?
I mean, like, I don't know, like, what I feel, but like I said, I'm just not worried about it, because I still got my trust in God, so I just know that as long as I keep praying, everything's going to be fine, so.
You know, that's the thing about it, you know, we can go to God in prayer and put our trust and all of our worries and burdens, and we can give them to Him. And also, you know, we have different avenues to also deal with stress, you know, even exercise, stuff of that nature. So we don't have to keep it balled up on the inside or be in denial about it. We can, you know, take it to God in prayer or use the various avenues that He's given us to, you know, deal with stress.
Minister Renee, is there any feelings that you're experiencing and that you're going through that you would like to share with our listening audience so that, and what you've done to deal with those feelings so that they didn't overtake you, or are you yet still dealing with them? You know, something that can help a listener. So God gave you Psalms 91 to read for this? Okay. And what do you mean by something changes? Is that everything or something in particular?
He just said something.
Okay. He said God told her to read Psalms 91 until something changes.
Okay.
Said her husband, so when her husband wrote her,
didn't
he didn't call her, he wrote her a letter. He wrote her a letter asking her for a divorce. He didn't call her.
And I began to God.
And then she began to seek God, and all she could hear God talking to her about was Psalms 91.
God just started letting me know.
The more she read it, God let her know that He made her a promise. And no matter what it looked like, or sound like, or feel like,
just believe,
and you're in trouble, God will come and help you. So was your heart broken? Your heart was broken. Were you angry? Or you hadn't made it to the anger stage yet? Okay, her heart was broken, so she hasn't made it to the anger stage yet. And so the reason I was asking her those questions is because when people die, we go through stages. And a lot of times people don't realize that when people are going through divorces and heartbreaks, they go through those same stages. May not be in the same order, but the denial, the anger, the sadness, all of those, people go through it because it's a type of burial and death. Marriages are eternal soul ties that God set up. And so I believe, it doesn't mean that I'm right, but I believe that's why they're so, are supposed to be so hard to be broken when it's a covenanted agreement. I think that there are people that go in and out of them, like people change shoes and cars and outfits and hairdos, but I think it's because they don't go into it in it being a covenant. What do you think?
I believe that's very true, that it is essentially what most people want to have for life. You know, I think that most people really do want to be with that person for, you know, the rest of their lives, but then something tries to come in the way and tries to divide. And I'm pretty sure we can always find a way that, you know, Satan being the adversary that he is trying to come in and, you know, he wants to destroy the marriages. He wants to destroy the unions and the covenants, you know, made under God. So that's how I feel about that.
And a lot of you can't hear my sister or see her. She's off camera. But, you know, the tears, the crying that she's experiencing at the same time as dealing with the needing to heal as she's going through recovery from the major surgery is very key that you know about it. And it's because during the time of this, when the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Lord will lift up a standard against him. But we have to realize that during that time, you have to surround yourself with people that are not only going to speak life into you, but that are going to do things to help you get the proper rest. Because one thing is for sure and certain, if you don't get enough rest, you cannot properly heal. You cannot properly allow your body to get the strength that it needs in order to continue. And most of all, if you're not getting rest, you can't hear God. The past 2 weeks, I had been operating off of maybe 2 or 3 hours of sleep a day. And the other day, not only was my body hurting, but I knew that I was very fatigued, and I knew that if I didn't get rest, that I was going to have a problem hearing from God and talking to God, because for the first time in my life, I had asked my son, you know, every morning we read the scriptures that God gives us for, you know, 30 days each, and so as he was reading the scriptures, I heard the very first sentence that he said, and then after that, I didn't hear anything else, and yet I was driving. I want you to hear what I said. My son was reading the word. I didn't hear a word that he said, and I was driving. So that tells you that I was tired, but yet I was driving. My son was sitting next to me, but yet I was driving. So my point is there's a lot of people that's driving cars, continuing in life, dealing with day-to-day activities, but yet they're numb and they can't hear. And they're driving. Some of us aren't driving cars. Some of us are going through our day-to-day lives. Some of us are on our jobs. We're taking care of our children. We're in our marriages. We're loving on our children. But we're operating so automatically, but we're doing it numb. I had no cognitive value or notion of what my son was saying. So how many of us are walking around living life right now so tired, not only in the natural but in the spirit, that you can't hear God and you're not even aware that you're moving from point A to B to C on to Z, but you're numb to what's going on around you. So I could leave anything with you on today, it will be if you need to rest in God, rest in Him. I have a friend that's supposed to be on bed rest, and she tried to run 2 times and she failed. So I wrote her a message on Facebook and told her, God said, bed rest. I mean, the doctor told you bed rest, which means to rest, not run. It isn't called bed run. And I think that's one of the problems with us is that we can get so busy in life until we forget how to rest in God. Not just trust Him, but rest in Him.
And it's definitely important for us to rest, because we, a lot of times we forget, you know, that it's one of the commandments for us to keep the Sabbath, you know, to keep a day of rest. And we need to have that day of rest. It's how God intended for us. And that's why a lot of times we'll be off during the week, because we haven't found a time to rest, you know. Even if you necessarily haven't had those for 6 days, you might not necessarily have that full time. Maybe you've only been able to pray about 30 minutes a day, but on those on the day that you have to rest, you can, you know, choose. You can even go for hours, or, you know, spend how much time that you need with God, and, you know, to let Him empower you. Because a lot of times we'll be so concerned about, you know, doing this for our job, or even making money, or which bills, you know, we're gonna pay. When yes, we do have to work to keep those things and to do those things, but we still have to obey God's commandments, and He has commanded us to also have a day of rest too. And so, and in doing that, that we should, you know, definitely learn to have a balance of in life, and, you know, definitely a balance of what we do at work. And even sometimes we gotta come home and then also, you know, decide that we're gonna, you know, leave whatever problems we can at work, you know, and to not let that influence our thinking for the day, or allow us to dwell on them for the rest of the day. And so, you know, that's one thing I want to leave. So, Stanley, do you have anything else to say?
Just stay prayerful, you know, for anything and everything and anyone. So, you know, if you, like you said, just pray, you know, if you don't know anything, just be fine.
So, yeah, when we're saying rest, we're not talking about, you know, idleness, or, you know, we're talking about, you know, we're working, you know, because man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. We're working, but we're not working ourselves to death. We're not, we're working, but also having a set appointed time to rest, because when you work, you do need rest. That's really the something that'll help you work more effectively, is when you have time to rest. And the funny thing about it, on the internet, I saw this thing about, how due to, you know, adjusted to inflation, how Americans are working more hours but getting paid less than what they were in like the 1970s, and also showing how that when we do work overtime, that our productivity, I think it said, goes down by 60% or something like that. And so, and these are all, you know, things that are supported by actual government. There are a lot of links to it as far as actual government-sponsored programs, and they're even showing how in some countries, like the Netherlands or in, you know, the Denmark and other places where they have like 20-something-hour work weeks, how these people were on a poll found out to be some of the happiest, you know, as far as workers in the world, and also as far as stress at work, that they even found out that 3 in 4 Americans feel stressed at work, whereas one in four from that same number says that work is probably the most stressful thing in their lives. And so we have to keep that in mind. And also even understand that they even show that, you know, making people work overtime and doing that causes business to actually lose money in the long run too. And so we're, in a sense, working, but we're not really doing all these extra hours, and we're not resting, and it's not really benefiting anyone, not even the business themselves.
Did you have anything else you wanted to share, Renee, before we go off the air?
That no matter what, just trust God.
Trust in God.
You'd rather be miserable trusting God in the eye of people than to be with someone that doesn't want to be there. and blaming God.
Family?
I would just say, you know, like I said, stay prayerful. You know, if you're worried about something, like you said, just go to God and ask him, can you open up your heart so you could get, you know, get past it, you know. So, you know, a lot of, like you said, I know that a lot of people don't know what, you know, what some things feel like because you said they had a wall up in front of them. So I just say once you been open to those new things, just stay with God, even if it's strong or hurtful. So just, you know, stay prayerful, you know. Like you said, read the word he gives you, you know, for 30 days or just a day, as long as you're reading something from the Bible. Just stay with him.
I guess I'll close out if there's, unless there's anything else. Lord, we thank you for today's program. We thank you for using us. We ask that, you know, any of our listeners, all of our listeners will be blessed, Lord. We ask you to bless Stanley, Lord, and also bless Evangelist Cecilia and also Evangelist Sylvia, Lord, and bless them beyond and above anything we can ask or think, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
And thank you to Apostle Sandra Thomas for her prayers and support, Pastor Antoine, to Elder Jones, who was so nice enough to bring us even food while my sister was in the hospital. I mean, just simple things like that. We were in the hospital and just trying to make sure that we were there for her. It was hard trying to figure out an appropriate time to even go out and get something to eat. So we thank her for that, and we just are so grateful to all of the people from the various sisterhoods, Clutched and Chrome, and what was the other one? The Hawks, Just Friends, Hell Lovers. These were the motorcycle gangs. We're not talking about nobody that loves hell. Yeah, it was so many of them. So we just want to thank you all for coming by to see her and just Renegade Riders. There's so many. We would have to go on and on. So thank you for coming by to see her and to support her. I mean, it was just powerful. I wish, even for our cousins, Bessie and Joe and Marcy and Zynga and Dora and Peppa and Pastor Handy and Elder Handy and Vernell and my sister Sheila and just Rabbit, just so many. Just thank you for all of your prayers and support. Would like to say, though, I have to be honest, it seems like we were going to have to do a better job with our ministry to people that are in the hospital and the ministry of those that are close to us. We tend to take care of people who are far off. But remember, Jerusalem must take care of Jerusalem. So let's not get it twisted. We want our family to be ministered to also. So until next time, as Brandon has already said, we are praying for one another. And remember our foundational scripture, St. Matthew 6:33 is, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So let's get busy about our Father's business and remember that we can rest and trust in him. See you tomorrow at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time for Iron Sharpening Iron, where our guest host ministry is Sandra Thomas Ministry with the Churches of Philadelphia, Apostle Sandra Thomas. Stay blessed. Bye-bye.